of cream, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, editor and publisher of globalbusinessnews.net and your host on Global Radio Talk Show. Our guest today is Elizabeth Karcher, Director, Global Mobility and Total Rewards Communications for Discovery, Inc. So Discovery, Inc. is now the leader in global entertainment, reaching 3 billion cumulative viewers in more than 220 countries and territories. Boy, that's a lot. So Elizabeth is based in Washington, D.C., and she manages strategy and operations of global mobility and all Total Rewards Communications worldwide for Discovery. She's an international human resource professional and recognized internationally for her expertise in total rewards and mobility in both startup and growth organizations. Prior to joining Discovery Communications, she was with Lockheed Martin in international human resources. Elizabeth started and managed her own relocation services company, relocating international execs and their families into the Metro Washington area. Regarding education, she holds a Master of Arts in Political Science from Rutgers University in New Jersey. She has also received her Bachelor of Arts in International Affairs from the American University of Paris in France. So let's welcome Elizabeth.
Hello.
And thanks again. So tell me about being in Paris. And I know it was a long time ago, but maybe not that long ago. So a Bachelor of Arts in International Affairs. So what kind of curriculum was that in international affairs? Was that language as well as cultural? Or
actually, it was political science and economics. So That was really the core of what I studied while I was there. I was there for a regular four-year college degree, studied with both at the American University in Paris, and then some of my classes were in French at the Sorbonne.
Oh, how nice. Well, my background in French is limited to high school, 4 years in high school, and I hardly remember things, although when I'm in Paris, it tends to come back, especially in restaurants and bars.
I was going to say, a glass of wine, and then you start to speak French much better, right?
Yeah, it's that the accent aigu just happens. So in the Master of Arts of Poli-Sci, at the time, what do you think of geopolitics? Looking at what you know now and looking back to that time in college and graduate school, and think about today's, what's going on today in geopolitics and globalization and all that. Do you have a quick view of all that? And I mean, did that prepare you for today's job?
Well, I think it's actually fascinating that when I went to college and then on to graduate school, the job that I do today did not exist in terms of, you couldn't go to school to study what I do today. Even with a master's degree, this type of training that I have and what I spend my days fascinated by and enjoying and part of with my team, it's a life experience. It isn't something that you could study. When I was in graduate school, actually, my specialty was in international terrorism. So I decided very quickly that wasn't really what I wanted to spend my days doing. So I moved into human resources instead. So what do I think about the geopolitical world? It's actually fascinating to me that there's just as much political upheaval, international terrorism, the same issues are pretty much the same in the geopolitical world that we had then when I was studying it as we have now. The difference I see is actually in human resources, and that is we spend a lot more time and energy moving people to create global workforces and moving people to work internationally. So I'm actually very happy with the choice I made to move to HR, since that world is actually getting smaller.
So let's talk a little bit about what your job is today, using what we just discussed as foundational. In addition to global mobility, I read here you're director as well of Total Rewards Communications. Now, what does that mean?
So that means that all of the communications that go out to internally within the Discovery world regarding compensation, benefits, HR issues, I oversee that team as well.
I see. So if HR wants to get a message out somehow, they give it to you and you decide how and what.
Yes.
Well, that's
exactly.
Interesting. That keeps you busy. And it also broadens your workload and your workday just out of the global mobility space into more support of the enterprise itself. I would
imagine. More support of total rewards. In fact, I would say that's the bulk of the communications that go out. It's people want to know about their compensation and benefits, and so I work very closely on the total rewards team, communicating people's the benefits and the compensation that they receive. And that's actually worldwide, so we've got to think about communicating it in French for the French, for our Eurosport members. We have to translate it all into Portuguese for our teams in Brazil. So it's a big job, actually.
Now, I want to circle back to that aspect of your job in a few minutes. But first, I want to dig into the company. There's a new company called Discovery, Inc., and it's different than Discovery Communications. Could you describe how?
Oh, sure. This new company is actually amazing, and we're so excited about it. In many ways, the acquisition of Scripps Network is, they do a lot of programs that are terrific that we had always had our eye on, and so it's really nice that there's kind of a marriage of Discovery and Scripps. The programs that they have are ones I'm actually was a big follower of, the Food Network, HGTV. They're just really terrific programs, so it's nice that they're now, we're all under the same Discovery umbrella.
Interesting. And so you mentioned now about teams in Brazil and Portuguese. So tell us about the product line of this new corporation.
Well, we actually have a number of different work streams. I think the big push right now is in digital. I think that's across the board in all media companies are talking about digital. We also have Eurosport, which is Eurosport. The best way to describe it to an American population is it's like ESPN, but for Europe, actually for worldwide. We just did, Eurosport covers the Olympics, and so that team just is coming back from South Korea, and it's really fascinating, the model to be covering sports live compared to what we do with programs, as I said, for Discovery programs such as the Food Network or Investigation ID. Those kinds of programs that we have. So we're moving in a lot of different directions.
So at the Washington event at the Brookings Institution last week, you mentioned in passing a team of people from Discovery who are in Korea for the Olympics and the time zone difference and the excitement of being there. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what you did and how it impacted your job?
Well, actually, so for our team, we manage mobility. So people who are moving to South Korea or even to Paris to work on assignments for extended periods of time, we would assist them in getting relocated to France to support Eurosport, or to London to support the Eurosport effort, and then supporting them if it was necessary because they were there for extended periods of time in South Korea. But yeah, it's a fascinating market. It's a fascinating model, and very exciting to have to be watching sports and the Olympics especially. It's a great year for the Olympics.
So tell us about the people that were relocated into Korea for the Olympics. Were that people from around the world, or basically from Paris?
No, they're from around the world. And those people, that's actually a slightly different model for the Olympics. People who are working on the Olympics they're under the auspices of the Olympic Committee, so it's slightly different than what my team does here at Discovery. The people that one of the, I think, fascinating things about our job and my job is that every day we wake up and we've got somebody in one country. We could wake up and we've got somebody in Japan and they are married to somebody from Latvia and we're moving them both to Turkey. Every day's a new day. You just don't know where people are coming from and where they're going to, but it's always exciting.
So do you have a colleague on the other side of the world, or are you up at all hours?
My team is all based here in Silver Spring, and we have HR counterparts that we work with closely all over at different hours, but all over. And we have different vendors that we use, and they support us internationally as well. But the core of my team and the people who report to me are all currently all based here in Washington, Silver Spring.
Okay, so now one of the issues that came up during the Washington meeting last week was this aspect of getting return on investment, company getting return on the investment in international talent. And I'd like you to comment for our radio audience on that Is that a black hole, or is it really possible to get an ROI on measuring performance and getting a return on the money spent on international assignment management?
I am going to break this down a little bit. I was trying to describe to my children what I do and what I do with these cost estimates. And when I spoke to one of my sons, he said to me, "Well, Mom, what you," and of course now we're beginning of baseball season. He said, "Mom, what you basically do is the WAR in baseball. You're measuring the wins above replacement for different baseball players. It's the same thing that you're doing. You just do wins above replacement for different talent of where you move them internationally." And so it's really depending on how they perform and what our anticipation or expectations for their performance in their new location is going to be. Now, whether I can tell you how many wins an employee makes or gets, I mean, that's a whole other type of statistic. But essentially what we do and measuring the ROI is measuring the wins above replacement for that superstar doing what we've asked them to do in the new location versus some other superstar.
So you mentioned wins above replacement. What is that, wins above replacement?
So in baseball, that's one of the many things that baseball followers measure, and it's the wins above replacement. So if you've got Derek Jeter and he costs you X amount of money and you decide you're going to trade Derek Jeter for somebody else, how many wins above replacing Derek Jeter are you anticipating that you would get for the money that you pay? It's the same thing for talent. If we've got a superstar and we decide that we're going to be moving them to a different location, we say, well, this is a superstar, and we're expecting this kind of return from their performance. But and if we don't have this superstar and we were to replace them with somebody else, what would the wins above the replacement be for this new, for another superstar coming in to do the job?
And then it's a matter of calculating or understanding and defining what that win is.
Exactly, exactly.
Give us an example.
We see people come in and have, you know, they are superstars. They've got great ideas. They're taking whole new ideas of how to structure television and digital media and coming with great ideas and bringing it into new locations worldwide. So
those are wins, yeah.
Those are wins.
So our speaker at Washington, Horace Porras from American Tower Corp, talked about attitude, and he talked about coaching and mentoring almost every step of the way, because the company at the get-go makes a decision that we want this person to succeed, and they take a long-term approach to make sure. Comment again on that, please.
Sure. We believe that actually no two moves are the same, and we don't believe any move should be a hardship. So we really want to make these transfers, these international transfers, as easy as possible for our assignees and for our permanent transferees. Clearly, these are employees that have deep brand expertise that we're trying to relocate, and that expertise is critical to the company's continued success. So luckily, we have a number of employees who are willing to move. They've got a great attitude, and we move them throughout the world to gain, you know, positive and satisfying career experiences. So we do what we possibly can to make that as positive for them as possible.
So are the relocatees, for lack of a better term right now, they're a team. It's all part of a team. And so it's not like putting somebody out to pasture. It's a team. I mean, you want this person to succeed. And how do you monitor? I mean, how do you, you know, hover, coach and mentor, you know, hovering over this person to make sure that they're okay and the family is okay and, you know, the attitude, their mental attitude is targeted towards success rather than survival.
Sure. We spend a lot of time up front getting to know the employees. I mean, I don't like to use the expression hold their hand, but we really take the time to make sure the employee knows what they're getting themselves into. We sit with them beforehand to review what their package looks like, what it's going to be like. We kind of give them the inside scoop of what it might be. Even though you might speak English, moving to London is not really the same thing as living in Silver Spring or Washington. We then, I wouldn't say hover or monitor, but we do, as they are part of a team in their new location, we make sure that their managers and their other teammates are looking out for them. It's not like a big brother brother, big sister, or mentor, official mentor program, but we do have people who have been on assignment in the past connected to a new person who's relocated, just so that the new person gets an invite out on a Friday night for a meal, or, you know, to make sure that the family's assimilating to the new location.
Well, that's a good way of putting it. Invited out for a meal Friday night. That's great. Not left behind. Yeah, that's good. And so how many women are in this mix, if I may ask?
Of our signees?
Yeah.
We actually, I have to say, I'm very proud. We've got a number of women that we've moved internationally, and both very senior and straight down to people who are just entering their careers. So I could look at the data, think almost 50-50.
Wow, that's exciting, isn't it? I mean, that's a little unusual in relocation, isn't it?
It is, but maybe not in television. I should look at the data on what it is for television, but for relocation, it is unusual.
Well, okay, so what do you think is the future of your job? How will it be changing in the next couple of years?
In my relationship here with Discovery, we've got, it's really exciting times with Scripps and the new television networks. In terms of mobility in general, I think we're getting to be, as I said, it's just getting to be a smaller and smaller world because we've got so many people moving to work internationally, and that just wasn't the case 20, 30 years ago. This is part, I think mobility is part of, especially the millennial generation, they're expecting to have an international experience. So I would say I imagine that that's going to be continue, and that we're going to see more and more people wanting to have some international experience under their belt as part of their career and their career development.
So keeping in touch with these people that are on assignment, is that part of your job or delegate that?
I actually touch base. Usually I have somewhat of a calendar and I keep, you know, I send something out at the holidays. I send something out at, if they're Americans, I send something at Thanksgiving. But I also send an anniversary reminder just to congratulate them. You know, oh, you've been there for a year. You've been there for 2 years. How are the kids doing? What's going on? So, yeah, as I said, we're very hands-on and I like to keep in touch with signees while they're out there.
And about the future of people in mobility, the future of career in mobility, where would you look to find the next generation of mobility professionals? Let's say from within your company, and then if you can take a peek outside.
Sure. Well, one of the roles that I have as part of the Total Rewards Communications is I've got team members throughout Total Rewards who, if they're interested in mobility, they come and they'll shadow and work on our teams. And I'm happy. We always mentor them. Do a lot of cross training as well, whether it's learning about immigration, taxes, or the relocation element. So we spend a lot of time within our own team cross-training, but also people within the whole Total Rewards community. If they're interested, we bring them on and spend some time with us.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you. Is there anything that you'd like to talk about?
What do you think is going to be the change of and the future of mobility in the next for this next generation?
I think it's going to be self-serve with, of course, you know, always the people management, always. But, you know, I think people are going to go through a training and then they're going to have online continuing training. It's going to be a lot of responsibility on, in my view, a lot of self-learning to get familiar with customs, get familiar with language. And rather than an in-person coach, it's all online. And it's up to the individual assignee to learn how to grow. And now this is for a broader market rather than a C-suite, which I think is going to require more hands-on and, of course, be more pricey. But for everybody else, I think, particularly the new generations and blossoming so quickly in organizations, that it's all going to be online. Online chat room, online learning, and experiential. Number one, experiential. That's my view. So more tech, more online. I think in the end, people will be more adept to learn that way than younger people because they're so used to finding things online and knowing what to do. And I think that through maybe crowd learning, crowdsourcing, sharing concerns and sharing questions, and then learning through people helping each other out through collaboration, I really think that it's going to blossom, and it's going to multiply, and it's going to reduce the need for people to jobs in inside mobility. I think it's going to become much more tech. It's going to become much more valuable and measurable to the business, and fully integrated from TA through development and deployment through and whatever. You know, I really believe it's really going to become a very important, more strategic industry. That's my view.
Well, that is fascinating. See, we still take the maybe old school approach that we want the employee to have super positive experience and a great family experience. And that's a valuable investment to having our employees be able to work faster, sooner, quicker, and better in their new locations. And sometimes I think self-serve doesn't always support that model. It's interesting.
I don't think there's black and white. So I agree that there'll always be a need for hovering, mentoring, coaching. And as our guest speaker noted, it works when everybody has the buy-in and the commitment to make a team approach. And then that person becomes a mentor to the person coming behind them on the trail. And boy, it's the team approach, and it wins for that organization, that's for sure. So I thank you very much for being involved with us here on Global Radio Talk Show. This is Ed Cohen thanking Elizabeth Karcher, Director of Global Mobility and Total Rewards Communications at Discovery, Inc. So in the opening, I read that you have a reach in global entertainment reaching 3 billion cumulative viewers. What does that mean?
When we take all of our viewers across the globe, whether they're on handheld digital, our telephone or iPhone, or an iPad, or their computer, or an old school television, that's how many people are tuning in and getting content from Discovery.
Fascinating. Wow. I have one last question about the buy-in from the C-suite about mobility. So obviously in your organization, and probably due to you personally and your skill level, you have buy-in. So in many other companies do not yet have that. So to what extent, from your view, should mobility professionals today, what should they do? How should they act? How should they prepare themselves in order to communicate the value to the C-suite and therefore get, in the end, more buy-in and more support top-down?
One of the ways that I took that challenge for my team and for me to say, explain, you know, we really do need buy-in, and we need to have the senior management teams understand what it is we do and how we can help them. And that is bringing these numbers home, to explaining what is this assignment cost? What would that same candidate cost as a permanent relocation? What do you think the talent, the market is for talent in the location? Do you have someone available to be doing that job? And this is what that job would pay if you had a local candidate. And then looking at those numbers, and the senior management and the C-suite will know what kind of return on investment, whether what the WAR is, a Jeter versus some other player. So they it's up to them to know what they're expecting, what their wins above replacement would be, but they're not going to know that unless we have the numbers to show them and share with them to help them be able to come to what they're anticipating their return on investment will be, that these different types of moves. So in terms of bringing it home for how do we arm other HR and global mobility professionals is know the numbers, have the data, have the information on what these assignments are going to cost, and be realistic about it. And then be able to bring the comparisons to senior management so that they themselves can make the determination of where they should be putting talent and how it should be structured and given the information that you give them.
Right. And once again, thanks, Elizabeth Karcher, for being our guest on Global Radio Talk Show. This is Ed Cohen from San Diego and Elizabeth in Washington, D.C. And thank you all for listening to Global Radio Talk Show, a service of globalbusinessnews.net.
I think to myself, what a wonderful